Good. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 20 to 24. Genesis chapter 3, verses 20 to 24. Genesis chapter 3, verses 20 to 24. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Odyssey is one of the greatest stories ever written. It was written 2,500 years ago by a Greek man called Homer, and it tells a story of a man called Odysseus who left home and went off to fight in the Trojan War. And the story is all about him trying to find his way home after the war and the difficulties and the adventures that he experienced on the way back. And he had a lot of difficulties and a lot of adventures. He was stuck on an island for 7 years. He had to resist the seductive temptations of the mermaids. He had to make some very hard choices. And he had to overcome some obstacles, like fighting the one-eyed giant Cyclops. And as you read the story, you think, is he going to make it home? Now, that story is read, it's studied today, and it still resonates with us because that story is the story, it's our story. It's the story of our life. You see, what's life about? Life is about finding your way home. This is our third week looking at Genesis chapter 3. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the origin of sin. And last week, we looked at the consequences of sin. And we saw that sin affects every area and aspect of life. And every area and aspect of our lives. Well, today, we're looking at the ultimate consequence of sin. What's the ultimate consequence of sin? The ultimate consequence, I think, is this, that we and every human being is homeless. We are homeless. And so there's four things I want us to see from this passage this morning. We are homeless. The reason we're homeless. The way back home and how you can find it. We are homeless. The reason we're homeless. The way back home and how you can find your way home. First of all, we're homeless. Verse 23 says this. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. When God created Adam, he placed him in the Garden of Eden. Now, what was the Garden of Eden? The Garden of Eden was paradise. It was where God was present. It was where God and Adam and his wife lived together in perfect harmony, in perfect peace, in perfect joy. And it was where God had deliberately put him. God had made Adam from the ground and put him in the Garden of Eden to look after the ground. It's where he was fulfilled. It's where he belonged. It was his home. See, what is home? Home is one of those small words with a big meaning. Home is not a house. Home is where you belong. It's where you fit. Home is that place where everything fits because you fit into it. You see, home is that place where you are accepted and loved for who you are. Not for the gifts you have, not for the skills you have, but for yourself. It's the place where you can let your hair down, where you can be you. You don't have to put on a face. You can if you like putting on a makeup and that kind of stuff. But you don't have to. You can just be yourself in your home because you're accepted for who you are. It's where you belong. It's where you're restored and rejuvenated. You know, out there, it's stressful. It's tiring. In here, everything's okay. And home's important to us. You know, when we've been away for a while and we get back, what do we say? It's good to be home. Or, you know, Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, as she is traveling back to Kansas, what does she say? She says, there's no place like home. Now, when God sent Adam and his wife out to the garden, they were cut off from their home. They became homeless. Many of you know what it's like to be a long way from home. Some of you know what it's like to be a refugee or an asylum seeker. Some of you know what it's like to be physically, literally homeless. And the worst thing about being homeless is not the cold and the rain and the lack of shelter. The worst thing is not having a home. Not having a place where you belong. And since Adam and Eve lost the garden, that's the condition of all of us. We are all homeless. We don't belong in this world. This world doesn't fit us. You know, that's why life is like it is. That's why your life is like it is. That's why nothing ever seems to fully, completely fit. Because we don't belong here in this world. We were created for a joy which we don't find here. We're created for a beauty which is out of this world. We're built for something greater than this world can offer. And there's something in us that can't forget that. We've got a desire in our hearts to be back home. Sometimes you hear it in the lyrics of songs. Homeward bound. I wish I was. I wish I could be home for Christmas. The first film I ever watched as a child at the cinema was a film called E.T. And E.T. is about an alien who's stranded here on Earth. And his famous phrase is, E.T. phone home. And I remember at the end of the story, at the end of the film, I was crying in the cinema as E.T. goes into the spaceship and flies off home. Now, I know it's just a little film, but there's something in us that wants to be back home. Because when we're back home, then we'll be okay. Everything will fit. And so the question is, why do we feel homeless? Why are we homeless? What's the reason for being homeless? Well, last week we looked at the consequences of sin, and we saw that the consequences of sin were breakdown. You know, things fall apart. The center doesn't hold. And we experience, because of sin, personal breakdown. You know, we don't know who we are. We have a lack of identity, a lack of feeling that we belong anywhere. We have a sense of shame and a sense of fear. We experience relational breakdown. You know, relations fall apart. You know, even amongst the closest of friends or the nicest of families, there's arguments and fallings out. And then there's physical breakdown. You know, we are breaking down. Sorry to tell you this morning, you are breaking down physically. You're getting older. You're decaying. And we're going to die. You know, we're meant to live forever. God created us to live forever. He didn't create us to die. But that's what we're doing. But under these breakdowns is another breakdown. You see, the reason we're cut off from ourselves, the reason we're cut off from other people, the reason we're cut off, our bodies are cut off from our souls, is because we're cut off from God. You see, underneath these other breakdowns is another breakdown, a breakdown in our relationship with God. That's what he says in verse 22. God says, "Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." He's about to say, we need to send them out of the garden. It doesn't even get to that, doesn't God? Because he's so quick. He's in such a hurry to send them out. You see, what had happened is that Adam and his wife had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God said, don't eat from. And as soon as they ate from it, as soon as they disobeyed God, they took their lives and their happiness into their own hands. They said, I'm going to be the boss of my life, not God anymore. That's what it means to know good and evil. It's to decide for yourself what's right and wrong. And God says, you can't live like that forever. I'm not going to let you eat from the tree of life. What's the tree of life? The tree of life is a tree that gave fullness of life and gave long life. And so God sends them away from that. Because you can't have that kind of life and be the boss of your own life. You see, Adam and Eve said, we're not going to listen to God. We're not going to obey God. Instead, we're going to listen to Satan. That's what they did in the Garden of Eden. They listened to a lie from Satan. This tree's not going to harm you. It's good if you eat it. And they believed that lie, turned their back on God. And their relationship with God broke down. Cut off from God, cut off from his presence, sent out of the garden. They lost their home. You see, where is our home? Our home ultimately is meant to be with God. God made us for himself, and we are homeless, we are restless until we find our rest and our home in him. You see, everything good that you enjoy in life comes ultimately from God. Everything we want in life ultimately comes from God. You see, what do we want in life? We want love. Well, God is love. If you cut yourself off from God, you cut yourself off from the source of love. We want to be wise, but God is wise. And so you cut yourself off from God, you cut yourself off from wisdom. We want beauty. And honor. Well, God is beautiful. He's glorious and honorable. You cut yourself off from God, you cut yourself off from beauty and honor and glory. We want life. You cut yourself off from God. He's the source of life. What do you end up with? You end up with death. You cut yourself off from God forever. That's hell. And because we've lost these things, and yet we want these things, We try our best in this world to get them. We try and recreate our home here on earth. We try and make sure everything fits in some way. We try and make sure everything fits around us. If I can be in control of my circumstances, then everything will fit and I'll be at home. Or we look to the future and think, oh, once that is sorted in my life, or once the environment issues are sorted, or once this problem is taken care of, then we'll be at home and then this world will be okay. Or we can look back to the past and we can go, do you know, everything was all right back then. That's when I was happy. That's when I was fulfilled. That's when everything fit. That's when I belonged. That's when I was at home. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke to a man outside church. He was holding a photograph in his hand, and he was standing near the doorway. And so I went over to speak to him. And in his hand was a photograph of his wedding day. He said, today would have been my 62nd wedding anniversary. He said, my wife's been dead for 10 years. But ever since she died, I have come here to this church where we got married and stood on the very spot that this photograph was taken as we left church having just got married. And he came because he wanted to stand on in the place and remember that moment. What was he doing? He's trying to get back home. Isn't that what we all want? You know, there's times in our life which are just fantastic and wonderful, but they're only there for a moment, and they give us a glimpse of our home, and we want to get back to that. But the problem is, in this world, nothing will ever fit. Because this world is not our home. God has made us for himself. And so we're only satisfied and content and fulfilled and at home with him. But because our relationship with God has broken down, we've lost our home. You see, the only way to get back home is to come back to God. And so the question is, how do we come back to God? What is the way home? Is there a way home? Well, we see the way back home in verse 24. This is what we're told. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. You see, what's the way back into the garden? Well, the way back into the garden is through these cherubim. What are cherubim? Well, they are angels. There were two figures of cherubim built in the temple, and they were pictured as lions with a human head and two wings and 15 foot tall. You know, these are giant security guards blocking the way into the temple. And they've got a sword. And this sword is a flaming sword. You know, this is the original lightsaber. You know, and you touch a lightsaber in Star Wars, what happens? You die. You touch this flaming sword, you're going to die. And this flaming sword is a revolving sword. You know, you can't be like some fancy Jedi Knight trying to jump over this. It's going backwards and forwards. It's going to get you. In order for us to get back into the garden, we've got to get back through those cherubim. We've got to get back through that sword. That's the only way back into the garden. And that's right. In human relationships, if there's a breakdown in human relationships, then what needs to happen? Well, what needs to happen is forgiveness. Forgiveness needs to be offered. Forgiveness needs to be accepted. And the same is true with God. When there's a breakdown in our relationship with God, and what does God need? What do we need? We need to be forgiven. And what's required of God? Well, he needs to forgive. But God can't just forgive. How can God just overlook the sin in our lives and the sin in this world? That sin needs to be paid for in order for us to be forgiven. Justice requires that sin is paid for, and the way back into that garden is through a sword. That sword is a picture of and a symbol of God's justice coming down on our sin. In order to get back into that garden, someone needs to lead the way. Someone needs to go under the sword. When Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, he lost his home. He left his home with God in heaven, and he came to earth. And when he lived on earth, how did he live? He said, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He lived a life of homelessness. He didn't have anywhere that he could call home. He'd lost his home in heaven. He didn't have home here on earth. And then at the end of his life, he died homeless. He died naked. He died on a cross. And what happened when he was dying on the cross? He put a crown of thorns on his head. They hammered some nails into his hands and his feet. He was going under the sword. You see, Jesus was being cut off. That's what Isaiah says in Isaiah 53. He says this, predicting Jesus' death 750 years earlier. He says, he was cut off from the land of the living. See, when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he was being cut off from everybody, cut off from everything. He was cut off from God. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was cut off from his friends who abandoned him. He was being nailed to the cross, going under the sword of justice. Cut off from life, cut off from God. Cast out. He was made homeless. You see, and when that happened, something else was happening. He was dying outside of Jerusalem, and something happened in Jerusalem, in the center of the temple. See, as he was being cut off, something else was being cut. See, in the middle of the temple, there was a giant curtain which divided the Holy of Holies, which was where God was present, with the rest of the temple. The Holy of Holies was like a mini Garden of Eden. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, and when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? When he was being cut off, that curtain in the temple was being cut, torn from top to bottom. A symbol and a sign that we can come into God's presence once again. You see, Jesus was being cut off so we could be brought in. He was cast out so that we could be friends with God again. He was made homeless so we could have a home. That's what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross. And so the question for us this morning is this: how can you find your way home? How can you access what Jesus Christ has done? Well, the first thing you need to do is believe. In verse 20, we're told that Adam named his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Now, this is slightly strange, because Adam had already named his wife. He'd named her woman in Genesis chapter 2. Now, why is he giving her another name? Is it a nickname? Is it because she didn't like the first one? It's because Eve means life. You see, Adam has just been told by God in verse 19 that you're going to die because of your sin. Eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. That's the result of your sin. And in the face of that declaration by God, he calls his wife's name life. And he did that because he believed what God had said. You see, in the middle of Genesis 3, at the very center, God gives a promise to Adam and Eve. He actually is talking to this Satan at the time, but the promise is to Adam and Eve. He says, a child is coming from this woman who's going to crush Satan, who's going to defeat death, who's going to get rid of sin once and for all, who's going to come and save this world, who's going to bring people back home. And Adam believed it. He believed in the Savior. You see, if you want to find your way back home, the first thing you need to do is believe in the Savior. You need to put your trust in Jesus Christ. You need to acknowledge that you are homeless, and you're homeless because of your sin. And you need to apologize for that and say, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry that my sin has led to me being cut off from you. Please forgive me. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he's gone under that sword and made a way back into the garden for me. Help me find my way back home. But second, you need to, once you've done that, you need to visit your home. If I ever came to a point of living abroad for a long period of time, living in a different country, one of the things I'd like to do, probably want to do it every week, is I'd want to visit the English restaurant. I'd want to go there at least once a week and eat fish and chips and pie and peas and drink Yorkshire tea and be in an environment where everybody spoke English. And I'd want to do that because this would be home from home. It'd be a taste of my home. Even though I can't get back home at the moment, I'd want to taste it. I'd want to visit it by going to that restaurant. In order for you to keep going as a Christian, you need to visit your home. As you journey home to heaven, that is our home with God in heaven. As you journey home, you need to visit your home. And you visit your home through prayer. You visit your home through reading the Bible and meditating on what God has done and the home that you have. You visit your home by seeing people baptized and by eating and drinking the Lord's Supper and tasting the food of heaven. You visit your home by coming to community group and by coming to church. We're like, what are we doing here this morning at church? We're visiting our home. This is the taste of heaven. It's what it's going to be like all the time. Hopefully, it'll be even better. See, as you travel home, you need to visit your home if you're going to get there. It encourages you. It inspires you. These things are called the means of grace. And because it's God's grace that helps us get back. If you want to make it home, you need to visit your home. But also, you need to picture yourself standing at home. I love climbing hills and fells and mountains in the Lake District. But there's times when you're climbing up a hill and it's just fairly tough and you just feel like giving up, especially when the weather's not good. But one of the things that encourages me to keep going is by picturing myself at the summit, looking out over the fantastic view. If you want to make it home, you need to picture yourself at home. You need to picture yourself standing before God. Standing before God and saying, I'm home. I've made it. This is where I belong. This is my home. This is where everything fits. Here in the presence of God forever. See, if you picture yourself at home, if you picture yourself in heaven, that helps you get home. I'm sure that's what Odysseus did in his journey, and how he overcame all the came through all the difficulties. You see, if you picture yourself at home, it helps you through dark and difficult times. Because you can picture yourself, there's light at the end of the tunnel, I'm going to make it. It helps you say no to sin and to temptation in your life. It helps you to resist the temptations of this world because you say, I'm not created for this. I'm not going to be distracted from this. I'm not going to let this catch me off guard and wander from the way. I'm going to stay true. I'm going to make it home. And picturing yourself at home gives you confidence that no matter what obstacles you face, no matter how bad your circumstances get, no matter if you can't find and think of a way through, you know God's going to make a way through. Because you're going to get home and that obstacle in your way is not going to stand. God's going to do something about it. God's grace is bigger than any cyclops that you face in your life. He will make sure that you come through every difficulty and every trouble and that you make it to your heavenly home. You need to picture yourself at home, especially when times are difficult. You need to look and you need to say to yourself, through many dangers, trials and snares, I have already come. Tis grace has brought me safe this far. And grace will lead me home. Let me pray. A gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus has prepared a home for us in heaven. And that we will be there one day and nothing and no one can stop that happening. We thank you for your grace to us, your love to us. Thank you that Jesus has made a way. He's gone under the sword. He's made a way back into the garden, into paradise. Help us simply to trust him and to follow him. That we might find our way back home to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.